The Old Testament reading for this third Sunday in Lent is Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the command of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Masha and Meribah, because the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord not among us?" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God showed his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well, and we drank from it himself, and did his sons and the livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty and have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will the worship of the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Our Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back, and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I have ever done. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told them all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Sundays, every Sunday, reminds us that Christianity is not a bunch of rituals and ceremonies, but it's an active and loving relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And during this Lenten season, I've been doing a series on gravity. Gravity, thing that keeps us planted on this earth. In a positive sense, it holds us in place, keeps us grounded, holds the world together. However, because we are sinners, that gravity also pulls us away from a relationship with God. It has a negative sense of opposing God. Our nature is to say to God, "I can do it myself," much like a two-year-old tells us all the time, right? But we can't. So the topic today is the gravity of shame. In our gospel lesson this morning, we see the power of God's grace is strong enough to defeat the power of shame in our lives. Let's begin to understand exactly what shame is. Shame is much deeper than guilt. Guilt tells us that you've done something wrong. To remove guilt, you confess it so that it can be forgiven. One example might be if I were coming to church today in a bit of a hurry and I got pulled over for exceeding the speed limit and the officer said to me, what is in the hurry? Well, I'm heading to Grace Lutheran. And he writes me a ticket, or maybe he gives me a pass, I don't know, but the guilt is finished there when I say I'm sorry. Shame, on the other hand, points to who you are, that somehow you are faulty, awful, distorted. I am fundamentally a bad person, and there's no way to fix me. Therefore, Paul says, "The good I would, I do not. The evil I would not, this I do. What a wretched person I am." That is shame. I came across an illustration that I think points it out even more so. Jackie Robinson was the first ball player to pass the color barrier. His first season that he played, the crowds would jeer him when he would come into the stadiums. Even fellow players tried to stomp on his feet or give him a kick as he went by them. While playing in Brooklyn, he made an error. The fans mercilessly ridiculed him. He felt humiliated as he stood on second base with everyone jeering at him. Shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over, put his arm on his shoulder, and from that moment on, the fans grew quiet. Robinson later said, "That arm on my shoulder saved my career." Jackie Robinson was ashamed of the fact that he was a black man until Pee Wee Reese came and accepted him. When you hear the gospel lesson this morning, did you notice? The woman in our story was overcome by shame. She was embarrassed about what she was until Jesus came to her and accepted her in love. First point we realize this day is we notice that this woman was an outcast of society. That's why she was at the well in the heat of the day. None of the proper citizens of that town wanted anything to do with this woman. But God's grace is stronger than the pressures of society. He asked her to help him. This woman, who felt she had nothing to offer anybody, was asked by Jesus to give him help. Jesus was a Jew, a rabbi, and a male. It was taboo in that society for him to even speak to the woman, let alone ask for her help. Already, Jesus was ministering to this woman. Do you know that God, the Almighty Creator and Sustainer of all, likewise, is continually reaching out to you and me? God humbles himself to become man in the person of Jesus to identify with every circumstance in life that you and I face as well. Jesus humbled himself to be our Redeemer, our Messiah. Second point that stands out to me in this story is Jesus brings hope to the woman by his words of life and living water. He speaks to her of water that will well up in her for eternal life. He offers her the water of the Spirit and will cause her to never thirst again. These words hit a soul that had never heard grace like this. Society told this woman she was worthless. Society had told her that she would never be accepted. She would never be forgiven. Society constantly impressed on her that she was worthless because of who she was, because of her actions, her behaviors. No one would ever accept her. However, Jesus comes to her with great words of life. Likewise, through God the Holy Spirit, we hear words of life to each and every one of us as well. Do you know God's promises? God tells us, "I will never leave you or forsake you." In addition, he tells us, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." God comes to us with the promises of the gospel that also give us grace against all the voices of shame in our own lives. He brings living water to each of us, living water that quenches our thirst for love, acceptance, and forgiveness. God gives us exactly what our soul, my soul, your soul needs, life and hope. Finally, Jesus speaks the deepest words of grace to her. He knows exactly what this woman has done. He knows her entire history. He knows she has had five husbands and the man she was living with was not her husband. He exposed to her most hidden truths, and yet he does not condemn her or put her off. This knowledge of her history is what convinces her that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. She is so overwhelmed by God's grace that she goes and tells all the townspeople she knows that Jesus told her everything she has ever done. But the most important thing is, even though Jesus knows everything she has done, he does not condemn her. Instead, his grace reaches into her past mistakes and forgives her, and more than that, accepts her right where she is. It's important for you and me to know that Jesus knows everything about you and me as well. He knows the worst of our past. He knows all things that we've hidden from one another, because if you found out the truth about us, we would be condemned. Yet God knows, and God should condemn us, but he doesn't. In spite of who we are, God in Jesus speaks the same words of grace to you and me, doesn't he? What about you? What are you trying to hide from God? Do you believe that if God really knows who you are, that he would ever accept you? Today, Jesus tells us that he does. He knows each and every one of us completely. He knows even the hidden past, and yet he loves us. Do you believe that because Jesus is God, that he could never relate to you? But the truth is that he will come to you and ask you if you would like a drink of living water. In doing this, God demonstrates that he loves you and me. Do you believe that there is living water available to you at all times? This morning, God is offering you and me this living water. Are you afraid that there are things that you've done or not done that will separate you forever from God? God already knows them and has paid the price. Once again today, Jesus invites you and me to receive God's unfailing grace and love and the promise of everlasting life with Jesus forever. Let's pray. It's true, Lord. I am a poor, miserable sinner. I have failed you so often. Even as I think about my past failures, I know that I will continue to fail you. When I am truthful to myself, I know that there is no reason for you to love and forgive me. And yet today you tell me that you do love me and that you do forgive me because you care about me. Thank you for knowing truthfully all who I am and still love me anyway. I'm a thirsty person who needs the living water only you can provide. Help me to find a way to share your love and grace with others who are thirsty. Enable each one of us to do our part to spread the good news of love and grace to our family, friends, and neighbors. May my words of invitation be, he told me everything I'd ever done, and yet he loves me and accepts me, just as he accepts you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.